Yeah, Nancy, hi. Oh my goodness. I am so pumped to talk to you. How are you today?
Oh, nice. I'm good. I'm just having a little bit of lunch, just having a power bar.
Well, I'm so looking forward to you coming to Akron to perform at the E.J. Thomas Performing Arts Hall. And I got to ask if I can just jump right into this. Do you still get the same rush that you had when you were a young lady just starting off back in the early 70s and playing in front of 10,000 people in stadiums?
Well, I actually do get a really big rush. There's an adrenaline thing that happens when you walk out in front of thousands of people. It's sort of like, okay, I'm going to do some rockercise out here and exchange big sparks of energy with people.
Oh, that's
It's like,
awesome. Well, I often wondered what that would be like because I know you're playing all of your hits all of the time, and you have to change things up. You can't just, there's no way Hart is going to just do a same old, same old, same old, right?
no, we do what people want to hear, of course, but because, and we like doing, Crazy on You, Magic Man, Barracuda. Those are really fun, still really fun songs to play. And the energy is so up, on those songs. And we do Alone and What About Love and These Dreams. And, but other times we switch up and do like try to figure out how many Zeppelin songs we can get away with doing, Yeah. And then should we do Dreamboat Annie tonight or maybe Dog and Butterfly and the acoustic part? And, so we switch it out. We played a couple of things. We're just, we always talk about what the set list is going to be depending on the size of the venue and things like that. So if it's a little theater, you could probably get away with a little more acoustic moments
Got
that are
it.
real personal and that are more intimate. But when it's outdoors or something and you want to just kind of maybe more rock, like energy stuff. So
Yeah.
you kind of craft the set list accordingly.
Nice. Hey, if I may, since this is so timely, the world just lost Ozzy Osbourne. Was he an influence on you in any way, shape, or form, or do you have thoughts or even some memories of him that you can share with our audience?
Well, he was a huge Hart fan, I came to learn.
Oh.
He was like a friend of mine worked with him, and he was always like, "Oh yeah, the Anna Nancy Wilson, the Host Hart sisters. I love that band, And I knew that he was a huge, huge Beatles fan, like we were too, and kind of got going because of that, like we did too. And we never really got to hang out with Ozzy because our two bands were always on the road and always kind of in separate compartments as
Right.
far as he would be at the metal festival and we would be at the other festival and play that, with other bands that were different kind of opening bands for
Sure.
a band like his, a band like ours. But it was so cool for me to learn that he was a huge Hart fanatic. And that's the one thing I really did love about his music in a way too, is that he had a major melodic key that he wrote his songs in. He was, in a way, it's like Van Halen. A
Yeah.
lot of the Van Halen music, even though it's big heavy rock, it's major key stuff. And his Ozzy Osbourne's melodies were kind of positive, happy keys,
Yeah.
even though it was like he brought this certain kind of lightness into the dark of the metal world and kind of created a whole new thing that metal took off from by doing it that way.
Well, and I guess that brings me to Hart because you hop skip through several different kinds of genres in your music. I think that was part of what makes Hart so unique in the world of rock and roll. You're heavy, but then you're light. I mean, Dog and Butterfly,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, we really have a duality. We kind of have a wide range of emotion. We kick ass and we also go very romantic. So it's a cool band to be in because it's so diverse. And we really have a wide range of stylistic, music to, influences, and so we bring it that way. We don't have a narrow category that we fill. We wear big shoes, I
Yeah.
guess you'd say.
Well, and they're incredibly big shoes because really your music, and many people, myself included, you are the soundtrack of our generation. Those are anthems you created, Magic Man, Crazy on You. We think of those as if you look at rock and roll, it's Magic Man. It's Crazy on You. Does that make sense to you? Do you feel a sense of, oh my gosh, though, what did we create?
Well, More so now than ever, because the answer is yes. You know, I feel like you see multiple generations now coming to these heart shows. You see little kids and you see college age kids and you see the loyal heart fans that come back and back and back over the decades, really. Mm-hmm. And some of the familiar faces that are still coming out to see Heart, we're like, oh, hi, there you are again, you know. We have super loyal fans, and now their kids and the kids of their kids, I guess, are coming too. But it's really great to know that about these songs, because the songs do become the soundtrack of your life. I mean, like, all the songs I've always grew up loving. Same thing. It's the fan's perspective that you keep. I keep that in my mind. You know, like, it's really, it's the love of the song.
Yeah.
Why they come there.
When I thought about it, when I realized I was going to actually get the chance to talk to you, there are certain albums that just are milestones in people's lives. And there were three that came to my mind right away. Number one was the first time I heard your Magic Man album. I mean, I don't know how many times I played it over and over and over and over again, right? And I think all of my friends did that. I had the same feeling when the first time I heard the Rhiannon album with Fleetwood Mac. It was over and over and over again. Who are these people?
I know. I still buy albums. Like, when I work out, I want to hear a whole album in its entirety. You know, when I don't go back to the oldies as much as I try to hear the new stuff that's coming out, you know. And it's really amazing to kind of when you remember the stuff you grew up with, like an album that you know, like, I wouldn't have to put on Sgt. Pepper. I can just listen to it in my skin.
Sure.
It's in your DNA. It's in your head. It's already imprinted into your cellular memory.
Yeah.
It's so present in your life. It's part of your world, you know. So it's just, you know, there's so much great music like that, especially at that age when you're at the age where it imprints the deepest.
Yeah.
You're in your teens and your 20s and 30s, I think. It's right around in that time of your life.
Yeah.
It helps you get through your life, you know. It's your best friend to help you get through those long nights, or, you know, get through your finals that you're taking in college or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Some terrible thing that happens in your life, or your heartbreak, or you lost somebody in your family, or something really difficult happens, and those songs get you through. So it's really a cool thing about songs and music, and why people love, you know, how they love music and how what it means to them.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to this concert, but I want to take you back to it. There's one other musical thing that happens that sometimes are imprinted in people's minds, and that's Unbelievable Concerts. And if I could just one time take you back to 2012, the Kennedy Center Honors, and your Stairway to Heaven, I bawled. I've never had that kind of experience before. It was just pure bliss. Did you got that from a lot of people, didn't you?
No, I know. It was really a life moment. You know, it was such a huge convergence of, it was like a love fest. We'd always loved Zeppelin, of course. We just were kind of a baby band when Zeppelin came out. And so we did a lot of Zeppelin growing up as a band, you know, in clubs, and we still do a lot of Zeppelin. We try not to do too much Zeppelin, but, you know, but when they came up to us after that performance, like, Robert Plant was like, oh, you know, I've just grown to hate that song because people murder it so terribly, but you guys did a great job with it, you know. And it was like the ultimate thing to hear that.
Oh, I bet.
For me to hear Jimmy Effin Page say, you played that great. I'm like, okay.
You got some butterflies from that. That's amazing.
I think I just had a super peak in my lifetime, you know, right there.
Wow.
It was a good night.
That's awesome. Now, if I can take you even back even farther real quick, you're from Seattle, but you went to Canada, and that's when you really hit. How did you get to Canada? What prompted you to go there?
Well, you know, that song Magic Man.
Yes.
Well, Anne fell in love and left home for this guy, Mike Fisher.
Oh.
Who was a draft evader during the Vietnam War then. And she had met him in Seattle because his brother, Roger Fisher was the guitar player looking for a lead singer in a band called Whiteheart.
Mm.
So she auditioned, she got the job, obviously. And when she met Mike at that rehearsal, some garage somewhere, they just locked eyes and they fell in love. And
oh.
She kind of hitchhiked, basically, up to Vancouver from Seattle, where we lived, which is about 3 hours by Greyhound bus, you know, and hitchhiked across the border with a guitar case and a knapsack, you know. But anyway, that's how Mike was up there. That's how Anne went there, and the rest of the band followed her, because there's no lead singers just hanging around like Anne Wilson. So that's where the band started, and that's why it started there.
And you joined later then, right? Because you went to college?
Yeah, I knew I was going to be in Hart, and I sat in a lot during summers between school. And with Hart being 4 years younger, Anne had already been playing in places I wasn't old enough to go play yet.
Mm.
But I joined a band right about that time when they were in Vancouver, and I moved up there, and I joined for real when we were making Dreamboat Annie. All of that was going on.
And then it just exploded. I think you opened for Rod Stewart, and really the stepping stone that just blew up. Then Hart became everybody's band.
We forgot. We got fired from a club called Lucifer's, where we got fired because we cursed. We didn't curse even. And said that the food was bad. Like, she said, how bad is that food? It tastes like Lysol. And we got promptly fired from the dinner club we were playing. Got the call from Rod Stewart's people saying, can Hart open for Rod Stewart? Because his opening act got sick. So we went across to Montreal the next couple days and had a huge stage, you know.
Yeah.
Right then.
And then you had fun, and then there it is. And one final question, because I don't want to keep you. I know you have better things to do than talk to Gary Rivers in Youngstown, Ohio. But when did you know we've made it? We've arrived.
Well, I think, you know, when we got out of cabarets, when we got fired from Lucifer's, and we opened up for Rod Stewart in Montreal, the album had just barely come out. And it, because of the Canadian content law, we got under the radar, and they were playing us on the radio in Montreal. So the song Magic Man was actually being heard on the radio in Montreal.
Oh.
And so there's just like barely a new song on the radio at the time. And so we opened for Rod Stewart with Magic Man, the song, and people lit up their lighters because they liked the song. They'd heard the song before. And we looked at each other like, oh my God, this is going to happen. This looks like it could actually happen, you know, like the album, people, if they know this song in Montreal, and we came from Vancouver all the way across that continent, this might really be happening. So we were kind of, you know, region by region is kind of the way it happened.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, then here you are, 50th anniversary tour. Oh my goodness.
Oh, I know. It's really great.
It's just amazing. Well, congratulations to you on 50 years, first of all, and then being able to do this tour and continue.
We live to tell, and we keep, you know, kicking the shit of it. So.
Well, looking forward to you at E.J. Thomas Performing Arts Tuesday, August 26th. I can't wait to see the show. Thank you so much, Nancy, for spending some time with me.
Yes. Thank you, Gary Rivers. It's really great to talk to you. See you there.
All right, bye.
Take care. Bye.